Matthew chapter 21. You're saying, Pastor Paul, what happened to the book of Luke? Well, we covered that part a number of weeks ago, which is Palm Sunday, and I thought we would just do it from the book of Matthew today. Matthew chapter 21, and we're going to be reading in a moment from verse 1 down through verse 11. It's amazing as we ponder the life of Christ, how many people forget that Jesus Christ came to die. That was the reason that he came to earth. And we find in the book of 1 Peter chapter 1, beginning at verse 18, "For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold from your vain conversation, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world." So even before the world was created, Jesus Christ knew he would come and die for sinful men and sinful women. Shall we stand together? The book of Matthew, beginning at verse 1 of chapter 21. Matthew 21, 1. "And when they drew nigh unto Jerusalem, and were come to Bethpage, unto the Mount of Olives, then sent Jesus two disciples, saying unto them, Go into the village over against you, and straightway ye shall find an ass tied and a colt with her. Loose them and bring them unto me. And if any man say aught unto you, ye shall say, The Lord hath need of them. And straightway he will send them. And this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, Tell ye the daughter of Zion, Behold, thy king cometh unto thee, meek, and sitting upon an ass, and a colt the foal of an ass. And the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them, and brought the ass and the colt, and put on them their clothes, and they set him thereon. And a very great multitude spread their garments in the way. Others cut down branches from the trees and strawed them in the way. And the multitude that went before and that followed cried, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord, Hosanna in the highest. And when he was come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, Who is this? And the multitude said, This is Jesus, the prophet of Nazareth of Galilee." Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for that day in which you said that it was time and you set your face as a flint to go to Jerusalem, knowing full well that after the triumphal entry, that you would be betrayed, that you would go through the mockery of trials, that you would be beaten and spit upon, and that you would be crucified, dying for our sins. Thank you, Lord, for your love and your willingness to do this for us. In Jesus' name we pray, and with thanksgiving, amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. This past week, in cleaning up the building and setting the books properly in the books areas there at your pews, I came across this cloth cross. Whose is it? You know, I find it interesting. The Christian faith is represented by death. What was the cross? It was a place of crucifixions where people were hung on them and they were killed. And yet that's what the cross is representative. All the city was moved, saying, "Who is this?" And the multitude said, "This is Jesus." Are you glad that Jesus is your friend? Amen. What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. I feel sorry for those who do not know Jesus. And I feel even worse for those who have never heard of him. And when they drew near unto Jerusalem. See, they were going to Jerusalem for a reason. Yes, the Passover was about to be had. And just as this Wednesday we will have the presentation of the Passover and the Seder and the elements that are shown, there was a reason Jesus was going. He had to be sacrificed. I read to you from the book of John chapter 11. Lazarus is dead. You know the story. And it says in verse 7, "Then after that saith he to his disciples, Let us go into Judea again. His disciples saying to him, Master, the Jews of late sought to stone thee, and goest thou thither again?" Verse 16. "Then said Thomas, which is called Didymus, unto his fellow disciples, Let us also go, that we may die with him." Jesus was going to Jerusalem for one reason, and that was to die. We would think that if he's going to die, he'd go in the opposite direction. But no, Jesus had a reason to go. You're here in Matthew chapter 21. If you would, let's look at chapter 20. Chapter 20, Matthew 20, verse 17. Matthew 20, 17, "And Jesus going up to Jerusalem took the 12 disciples apart in the way and said unto them, Behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man shall be betrayed unto the chief priests and unto the scribes, and they shall condemn him to death, and shall deliver him to the Gentiles to mock and to scourge and to what? Crucify him. And the third day he shall rise again." Aren't you glad we serve a risen Savior? He's not on the cross. He's not in the grave. He's risen. And he's on the right hand of the throne of grace. What a blessing that is. But he went to Jerusalem for to die. Verse 27 of chapter 20. "And whosoever shall be chief among you, let him be your servant. Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many." To give his life a ransom. He paid the price for our redemption. It bothers me that I think of people who are taught that you have to work your way to heaven. Folks, you don't work your way to heaven. You work because you are saved, not to be saved. You do things for the cause of Christ because it's the right thing to do, not because it's going to earn you a place in heaven. Jesus Christ has paid the ransom. Acts 20:28 says, "Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to the flock which he hath purchased with his own blood." He shed his blood for you and for me. Blood is precious. You drive by a church or by a library or by a school and they're having a blood drive. Why? Because blood is necessary. It's an amazing thing, blood. And Christ shed his blood for you and for me. We find in verses 1 and 2 that Jesus sent two disciples saying unto them, "Go, I have a job for you. Go and do this." And in verses 3 through 6, we find that the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded. They were obedient. Go. Go. We've just come through our mission conference, and what a blessing it was. And you know, we think of those who have already gone on our behalf, and we have been supporting them, and there are others that wish we would help them, and maybe we will. But we find that they are willing to be obedient to go. But may I say this, that all of us that are still here in America, we still have a job to do. We're to share the gospel. We're to invite people to the house of God. It's interesting that the Lord tells us that if we love Him, we will keep His commandments. His commandments are that we love one another. Do you love me? And of course, and yeah, and some of you snicker. But the fact of the matter is sometimes it's hard to love somebody, isn't it? I mean, let's be honest about it. Some of you like lima beans. And some of us don't. And some of you think, wow, I can't love you. You don't like lima beans. I'm sorry, I just don't. But may I say this? The Lord's love is so much so that there's nothing you can do that will make Him love you less, and there's nothing you can do that will make Him love you more. He simply loves you. And He died for you. And He wants you to be His. He's long-suffering, hoping that all will come to repentance. I ask you to take your Bibles and turn to 1 Peter chapter 1. Keep your place here in Matthew because we'll be back. But 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. No, that's Philippians. I don't want that. I want 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 1, beginning at verse 7. It says that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, ye love. Jesus loves you. Do you love Him? Whom having not seen, ye love, and whom though now you see Him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Do you glory in the love of the Lord? He loves us, and He wants your joy to be full. We are to love Him. And He went to Jerusalem because He loves us. If you would go back to the book of Matthew chapter 21, we'll begin reading once again from the verse 7. Down through verse 10. And brought the ass and the colt and put on them their clothes, and they set him thereon. In your mind's eye, see this picture. The disciples went and got the ass. And when they returned with the ass and the colt, they put their clothes on the animal and they set him on the animal. See, the warrior went on a horse. The king would ride on an ass. It was a picture of authority. And Jesus was riding upon this ass upon which they had taken their clothes. Now, they weren't naked, but they had taken a robe and they had put it on this animal, and he rode upon it. Let's continue reading. Verse 8 says, and a very great multitude. Now, I'm not sure what it means by great multitude. 100 people? 500 people? 1,000? 10,000? You know, it was Passover. Jerusalem was packed. There were many people there from all over. And we find here that a multitude were there. And it says, they spread their garments in the way. They allowed the animal to walk across their garments. And it says that others cut down branches from the trees and strawed them in the way. It's where we get the idea of Palm Sunday, that they cut down palms and they laid them in the road, and the donkey or the ass walked across them. And verse 9 says, and the multitude that went before and that followed cried, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. In your mind's eye, see the crowd as they are singing, celebrating, rejoicing. The Messiah has come. But did they all accept him as the Messiah? No. There are many Jews today that are still awaiting the arrival of the Messiah. And unfortunately, they do not recognize Jesus as the Messiah. But may I say this, the Jew is saved the same way the Gentile is, through faith in Jesus Christ, through faith in our Lord. And verse 10 says, and when he was come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved. Now, folks, today, your aunt, well, Aunt Marcia. Anybody have an Aunt Marcia? Nobody? Good, we can use Aunt Marcia. Today, your Aunt Marcia can have a torn fingernail, and it could be news around the world in just 60 seconds. Would you agree with that? You know, with all the technology we have, they didn't have that technology. But the rumors went wild. There's a man coming into the city and they're declaring him to be the Messiah. There would be excitement. There would be all kinds of people wanting to hear and see this man. There's much rejoicing and there's much anger. Because the Pharisees don't like it. And they rebuke Jesus for the actions of the disciples. In the book of Luke, it tells us in chapter 19 that they tell Jesus, tell your disciples to behave. I'm paraphrasing. And Jesus said, if these should hold their peace, the stones would immediately cry out. Folks, we're not having the stones cry out in our generation. We need to be the ones crying out for the Lord. It's our job to sing the praises of our Lord. Who is this? Aren't you glad that you live in America? That you have a Bible? That you know who Jesus is? A number of years ago, I've told the story. Lisa Lewis, missionary to Togo, wanted to come to our church as a missionary. And she sent with her a CD, DVD. I guess it was a DVD. And Pastor Mel and I watched it in his office. And it told of the children there in Togo asking her all kinds of questions. And then they asked the question about salvation and of Jesus Christ as Savior. And they said, how long have you known this? With the accusation that why haven't you come sooner? Folks, that is the most important truth you know, is that Jesus Christ can save. I don't care what else you know, nothing is more important to know than that Jesus Christ is willing to be our Savior. It's more important than knowing that Michigan State has won another basketball game. It's more important than knowing that you have money in your checking account. It's more important than knowing how much gas prices are going to go up because of what is happening in other parts of the world. What's important is that you know Jesus Christ is your Savior. Let me read to you from the book of Romans chapter 10. We've read from this the last two Sundays. And I will read to you again from Romans chapter 10, verses 13 through 15. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? There's a message to be declared, that of Jesus Christ. How shall they call on him they don't know of? How shall they believe in him they have not heard of? How shall they hear unless someone goes? And how shall they preach unless they be sent? Thank God we live in America and that we can send them. It is a blessing that we can send them. Back in Matthew chapter 21, verse 11. Matthew 21, 11. And the multitude said, "This is Jesus." Many of you probably heard the song, "There's Something About That Name." And no, I'm not going to sing a solo, but I am going to quote the song. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. There's just something about that name. Master, Savior, Jesus. Like the fragrance after the rain. Jesus, 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 let all heaven and earth proclaim. Kings and kingdoms will all pass away, but there's something about that name. Aren't you glad for Jesus? Next Sunday, as part of the songs the choir will be singing, is one entitled "The Love of God." And verse 3 comes from the words that were found on the wall of a terminally ill patient. And they go this way: could we with ink the ocean fill? And were the skies of parchment made? Were every stalk on earth a quill and every man a scribe by trade? To write the love of God above would drain the ocean dry. Nor could the scroll contain the whole, though stretched from sky to sky. The love of God. We don't understand it yet, but someday we will understand. In the bulletin, you'll see that memorization work will be coming from the book of Revelation chapter 5 and verse 12. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessings. The one that was slain, Jesus Christ, from the foundations of the world. Would you please take your Bibles and in closing turn to the book of Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2, we will not be coming back to Matthew. But Philippians chapter 2. We're going to begin reading at verse 5 down through verse 11. Some of the greatest words ever penned by the Apostle Paul under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Verse 5, "Let this mind be in you, which also is in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." The Apostle Paul effectively took all the titles of every so-called god and said to the Philippians, "Jesus Christ is Lord." We live in a society that wants to tell us that many ways lead to heaven. Folks, there's only one way that leads to heaven. And Jesus Christ is the door. And he is Lord. On that day, hundreds of years ago, Jesus was welcomed into Jerusalem as they welcomed him, calling out who he was. But a few days later, he would be betrayed. So there's a decision to be made. We either declare now that Jesus Christ is Lord, or we betray him. There are no other decisions. You must give him your life or keep it for yourself. The decision is yours. Shall we stand together? At the invitation time, you're invited to come and to pray here at the altar. If you've never accepted Christ as Savior, we'd be more than glad to show to you from the Word of God what you must do to be saved. Maybe you'd just like to come and thank the Lord for what he has done in your life. Maybe you'd just like to come and praise his holy name. And you can pray here alone at the altar. If you want someone to pray with you, we'd be more than glad to do so. If you're unable to bow down at the altar, you can sit on the front row. That's fine. Dear Heavenly Father, we ask now during this invitation time that you would bless it and use it for your honor and glory. May the Spirit move, convicting hearts, especially those, Lord, that need to be saved. And we ask this in Jesus' name and with thanksgiving. Amen.